Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we've been looking at last week, so I'm continuing on in what we learned from Israel. And last week we looked at 1 Corinthians 10, and what we learned from Israel is we learned that we are prone to idolatry. See, we need to apply the Bible to ourselves. And so often what happens is people say, oh yeah, those Israelites, boy, they were all messed up. And we don't realize it's written for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10 says. And that we need to learn from Israel because we're just like them. And so we need to learn from Israel. And last week we learned that we are prone to idolatry, prone to putting things before God, prone to things getting in the way between us and God, and that is idolatry. And we also, sexual immorality and complaining was mentioned as just a little side note. And we need to apply that to ourselves, not go, oh man, those Israelites, they were messed up. This was written for our admonition. Is written for us to learn from. White wisdom says you learn from somebody else's mistakes, right? Or you can learn from your own. Or you can keep making the same mistake over and over again if you don't learn from your mistakes. But we have an opportunity to learn from the Word of God. We have the Word of God before us that brings us hope and gives us a light into our path that teaches us God's way, which is the best way. And today we're looking at learning from Israel some more. And today we're going to talk about that, how we're prone to wander and we're prone to forget. You know, what's happening is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, let me just give you some background. What God's doing is he's about to take the next generation into the promised land that he had promised to Abraham, that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your numbers as many as the stars of the sky. I'm going to bring you to this beautifully described place. And God says, I'm going to bless you. But most of Israel isn't making it. They all died in the desert through a lack of faith and through a lack of, well, obedience. And so they died in the desert. So he's only bringing the children in, and Caleb and Joshua, who had had faith. And so he's now giving them instruction. Look, I'm about to take you into this land. I'm going to bless you. And there's one central theme I want you to catch today, and it certainly applies to me, and I certainly think it applies to you. I think it applies to most of the Western church and most Western people. And that is that we need to not be too busy for God and not let things get in the way, that the good blessings we have, that we wouldn't be so filled with the blessings that they get in the way of God. We don't have time for God. That's the theme we're going to learn today. He says, don't forget me. The very reason we take communion is one of the reasons is that we'd remember Christ and his soon coming and remember what he's done for us. So in the cross, the death and resurrection, to remember these things and to go back and remember the goodness of God. And that's what basically he's doing right here. He's taking the next generation, those that didn't die in the desert, those that didn't lack faith, and those that weren't walking in disobedience, they get to go into the promised land. So he's telling them the law. He's telling them what happened in the past. He's reminding them of the goodness of God and how God's going to bless them now. And God reminds them in blessing not to forget him. I think that's certainly a strong message for the Western church. I think we're quite busy. We're so blessed. We have so many blessings that we're quite busy, maybe even too busy, maybe even too busy for God. And these things would be then in the way of God, and the blessing, the very blessings that God gives us, because all blessings come from God, are the things getting in the way between us and God because we're too busy for him. Well, in chapter 7, in the previous chapter, just to lead up to a little bit of what he's telling them, he's telling them to drive out the nations. Look, so I'm going to bring you into the promised land that I promised to Abraham, and I want you to drive out all the nations. Kill them all. Get rid of them all. How unloving is that? Or let's look at it from a father's eyes. The father knew that these idol-worshipping pagans would encroach into the family of God, that would affect his children. So he says, drive them all out. Don't leave one of them. Grind up their idols and burn them to dust. Just like Moses did when he came down the mountain and found Aaron, all of them worshiping God. Dun, 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 dun. He was gone for a little bit too long, came down, and everybody went back to the gods of Egypt in such a short time. And he ground all this dust, these gold dust, the things they had made out of gold, he ground it to powder. Get rid of it. And it's such a strong message, such a strong visual message. He says, drive out all the nations. Don't drive them out totally. Don't just get rid of most of them. Get rid of them totally. And there's a message for us here. Don't intermarry with them, he told them in chapter 7. Break down their altars and burn their idols, he says. Don't bring them into your home. Watch out what you bring into your home. But then the positive side, no one will be able to stand against you. Do these things. Walk in obedience to me. I'm going to bless you, and no one will be able to stand against you. Great promise. What is God saying here? See, you've got to learn to apply the Bible to yourself. And that's why we have relevant Bible studies here. This Bible study is so for the West. Get rid of unholy influences and alliances, and God will be with you. If not, you're sort of like adding, what is it called when you add water to something? Diluting your life with pagan stuff. You're diluting your life with God by what you let into your home, what you let into your life. And get rid of it all, he says. Well, the question I pose to you today, and I pose to me more than anybody in the room, for I'm still working on this myself. Do you seem like you're too busy? Seem like life is pretty busy? I think we all can probably say that. There may be a few exceptions. Are you too busy? Are you too busy for God? If you're too busy and you're too busy for God, then that in itself is a problem. And it can be good things God has given you, children and homes and careers and blessings. But if we're too busy with the blessings, too busy for God, these are distractions and keeping us from God. And this is the warning to Israel, don't forget me when I bless you. I'm going to bless your socks off. You're not going to lack for anything. You say, well, that's not me. I'm lacking the latest iPhone. No, you lack for nothing. If you have food and clothing, you have everything you need, the Bible says. I'm not talking about what you want, what you need. Well, we're looking at today at how we're prone to wander and we're prone to forget from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to look at a call to obedience, a promise of blessing, and a warning not to forget. Slide 2. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8:1. It's a call to obedience. God's calling us to obedience, and it's the best life. You know, I think about times when I, early in my fatherhood, being a father, and how I'd, just obey me. Why don't you just get it? Why don't you obey me in my frustration? Why don't you just do what I say? And then today I was thinking about it, how, why don't I just do what God says? And today you might say, well, I'm very obedient. I'm totally in obedience with God. Are you? Are you really? You need to walk with your sin ever before you. You need to check your heart. By the word of God, it's a mirror to show us what we really look like. And as I look into this text today, I'm working on not being too busy for God. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. So I'm preaching to myself saying, Lord, show me the mirror of your word that I might see my reflection clearly. Who I really am, that I get busy with good things that God's called me to even. Good things that I want to do that I'm too busy for God, then it's no longer a blessing. It's a distraction from God. So I preach this to myself today more than anyone, and I would not say I've attained, but I am working on it, have been working on it for some time, and have made some great ground. And God calls us to obedience. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers knew, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. So it's a call to obedience. He says, every commandment I'm giving you as you go into the land, obey me. It's the way, it's the promise, it's the hope, it's the way to be. It's his obedience to God isn't something that's keeping us from the goodness of God, it's keeping us in the goodness of God. You see, God's way is the best way, but we want to go our own way sometimes, don't we? And we'll see that's just what they do. And remember, Israel is just like us, or we're just like them. Every commandment, be careful to observe The blessings of obedience, the victory is in obedience. And we need to realize that partial obedience is an argument for insincerity. You see, we say, oh, I'll do that and I'll obey that and I'll do that, but that I'm not willing to change. That I'm not willing to do. See, God wants us to obey fully. In verse 2, he says, remember that the Lord God led you all the time in the wilderness. God was with you, who was leading you, is teaching you. And today, with so many things going on in the church today, you need to realize, what is God trying to teach you? He's trying to teach you dependence on him, for one. That's what most trials are about. And he says, I was leading you through all this, going in circles. See, they could have went into the promised land in a matter of 2 weeks of crossing the desert, but it took them 40 years because of their unbelief and because of their disobedience. And how much is that holding us back? Our unbelief. How much is our unbelief holding us back? How much is our disobedience holding us back? And then he goes on to say, they test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He was testing us. He's testing us. Are we gonna depend on him, or are we gonna rely on self? And that's what he's trying to do, is break us of self. And that's when we totally surrender, like the song we sang. We need to not only sing that, but we need to live that in total surrender to God. And that's the way to blessing. And he says that he wanted to teach you what was in your heart. He wants to show you. You see, that, and that's why today I'm so concerned. People may say, oh, I've got this down. Oh, I'm perfect. No, you're not. You need to look into the Word and apply it to your life, and you'll see you're not perfect. You'll see your need for God, your dependency, that you need to depend on God through your life. Verse 3, he says that he gave them this manna, this food, bread from heaven. He would feed them every day with this bread from heaven. He was teaching them, it says, to trust God daily, because they're about to enter into this promised land, and they're going to have everything they need. They're not going to lack for anything, sort of like us, huh? And he's teaching us to obey daily, to trust him daily. You might have everything you need today, but do you trust him? Are you thankful for him? That's what he's trying to teach them today, so they go in when they have everything, that they're still thankful. They realize from whom all blessings flow. It's so important for you to know this, or for you to live this, to teach your children this and your grandchildren this, to be thankful for what you have today. He's teaching them to be dependent on him every day. Their meals were brought to their door. Very nice, huh? But he was teaching them, look, I am your provider. Trust me. It says right there, that's what he's doing. He's trying to teach them things. In verse 3, what is he trying to teach them? That man doesn't live by bread alone, but that every word that proceeds from God's mouth. This is the very text that Jesus quoted when Satan tempted him. Hey, just turn those stones into bread. Hey, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the Lord's mouth. You see, we need to depend on God's word. God wants to teach us to depend on him, to trust his word. When your feelings cause doubt, when your emotions, when your mind, whatever it is causing you to doubt, you look to his word and you hang on to it. You trust God at his word. And I think that's a big challenge for all of us. Do we believe God at his word? Do we trust him? Do we believe God's word? Do we look to it in times of trouble? It brings us hope, the Bible says. There's hope in here. It's a light to our feet. It gives us direction. But so often we turn to others, or we depend on other things. He says that I'm trying to teach them to know that they don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. To trust God at his word. You know, some people hear the word and a desire is created in them. And today you may go, wow, that made me hungry. I'm excited about this. But we go away and it sort of fizzles out. Roast dinner comes and we overeat, or we're satisfied and we're full. The very thing that he's telling Israel. And we forget about the message that God just spurned our heart with. We forget about what he was just speaking to us, and we let it go by the wayside. The Bible tells us this in Luke 8:14, that the word of God is choked out by the riches and the pleasures of life, the worries of life. So you can become so consumed with worry that chokes out the word. And that's what he's saying in Luke 8:14 about the word of God can be choked out. And the seed goes in, the plant goes up, but it's choked out by the worries and the pleasures and the riches of life. The blessings. We forget God. We forget about his word. And see, that's why we need to look to his word. That's why it's so important. We're in the word daily so God can speak to us. And God speaks to his word, you see. So many people are looking for some kind of miraculous sign and all these things, yet they deny the very one way that God will speak to you clearly through His Word that's not even subjective. You see, the Word may, you may hear it and it may create a desire in your heart, but you can go away and it can be choked out. Other things that can choke it out is, it says in another place that the pleasures of this life and the desire for other things choke out the Word. Desire for other things can choke out the Word of God. You can go away touched, but you cannot be transformed. Because the Word of God, you don't let it have its effect. It becomes unfruitful as other things, the desires for other things, choke it out. You see, we can be too busy for God. We can leave here and go, oh man, I really need to dwell on that. But then the busyness of life comes. The busyness of this and that. And you might say, well, Clinton, you don't understand. I have this, and I have small children, and I have this, and I have sick relatives, and I have that. And you can give all these things. But whatever you have, if it's too busy for God, there's a problem. And I think it's for all of us. Remember, I'm speaking to myself here. We need to make adjustments. We need to not be too busy for God. You see, we need to realize we're just like Israel. We're prone to wander and prone to forget, and take these very words before they enter into the promised land, before they enter into the blessing. Don't forget me. That's what he's going to say in a moment. Verse 4, he says, remember me, remember in the desert your garments didn't wear out and your feet didn't swell. I love that. I love that text. God was with them all the way. Their clothes didn't even wear out. There was no TK Maxx in the desert. There wasn't much to make clothes out of in the desert. So God had to make the clothes they were wearing not wear out. God was with them. God provides. God protects. God is with you. Do you believe it though? And so many people going through times of trouble and travail and heartache and so many challenges and trials today, we need to believe that God is good through it all. The goodness of God, that He's faithfulness of God. As we look back over our life, that's what we see. We need not feel that right now is what we're going through, but we need to realize the faithfulness of God is what we experience over and over again. Today you may be going, I don't know if God's faithful. I don't know. Things look like there's no hope. But you got to remember, God is true to His Word. But see, we can falter in our own flesh, become self-dependent, and then we look like there's no hope. When your hope is in Jesus, when you put your hope in Him, there's hope. And that's what we need to do. So He's through the desert, protecting them, providing for them, looking over them, faithful to them. You see, what can happen is we can go through the motions so much in our life that we don't need anything. We're just going through the motions. We're just sort of going through the motions with God and not really in dependence on Him because we have everything we need. And so we're not looking to God for things, and we know how to handle our problems. Maybe we're wise and older, and we've got it all down, and maybe our life has become so secure and comfortable that we've got a good pattern of it, but we need to be aware that we can just be going through the motions and found a nice structural routine for ourselves. We're not depending on God. We're depending on our structure. We're depending on our own wisdom. See, there could be a loss of hunger, a loss of desire for God during these times, and we're going through the motions. And so we need to be expectant of God. We need to be dependent on God. If not, we're going through the motions of walking in our own strength. In verse 5, he says, and the Lord will chasten you. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, the Bible says. He corrects. Why? Because we're prone to wander and we're prone to forget. And whom the Lord loves, He chastens. We need to realize that sometimes our actions need to be chastened. And God's trying in His loving hand all through the wilderness was chastening them. And there behind every chastening was the loving hand of God, the loving correction of God to teach them His way. Because we're so prone to wander and so prone to forget, we need to realize we need the loving, chastening hand of God. So we're just looking quickly at a call to obedience in slide 3, a promise of blessing. And God wants us to bless us. Do you know, I heard that on the radio one time, Chuck Smith said it. And I was a fairly new Christian, and it just transformed my view of God. God wants to bless you. I know it's true as a father. I want to bless my kids. I just got to be careful not to overbless them and spoil them. I got to make sure that I realize that trials are a part of life, and I don't always try and cushion their trial. I don't try and raise them in cotton wool and let them feel the sting sometimes of maybe disappointment. Oh, it broke. Oh, let me just go buy another one. Or feel the sting of disappointment. You see, they need to realize what life is really about. And he's promised to bless us. God wants to bless you. You know, I heard that on the radio over 20 years ago. Chuck Smith was speaking. I just revolutionized my understanding of God. That God wants to bless you. And that's what he's telling Israel here. He says, I want to bless you. Look at verse 6, Deuteronomy 8, 6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Now look at all this. A land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs. Plenty of water in the desert. That's a good plus. That flow out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of your whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Look at that. He says, look, I'm taking you to this land. You're going to have everything you need. You're going to want for nothing. But he says, what does he say at the end? He says, but don't forget to bless, to praise me, to praise God, to, from whom all blessings flow. You see, we can somehow think that it's us, that we've done all this. And we take the credit, and that's what the Bible's clear on saying. You see, we're prone to wander and prone to forget and prone to take the credit. And God's created us for his glory, and he doesn't want you to rob his glory. All this, he says, look, when I bring you into the land, don't forget to thank me. You know, we can take everything for granted so much. We have everything we need, basically, food, housing, clothing, pretty much, I would say. But we forget to be thankful. Or maybe we become complainers like Israel we learned last week, and we complain with what we have. We want something better, and we don't realize that God's provided this, and we're so much better off than most of the world. To complain, how critical is that? Well, he promised a blessing he's given them here. And he says, look, I'm going to give you in verse 6, keep these commandments to walk in his ways and to fear him. God wants our obedience. He says, when you go in the land, don't forget me. Don't forget to obey me. That's where victory and blessing is held. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to enter the land and they're going to not obey. They're not going to drive out all of the nations in the land. They're going to intermarry with them, all the things that he said in chapter 7. They're not going to crush all their idols. They're going to leave a few of them about, exactly what God said to do. Drive them all out of the land, and I'll be with you, and I'll help you do this. Let's just remember how he helped them do this. When they went across at first in the Battle of Jericho, they marched around the city 7 days, and the walls fell down, and God gave them victory. And that's not the whole way everything was going to work, but that gives you an idea of how much God was with them. His promise is true. You can hold him to his word. To trust every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. To walk in the understanding that God is good. God is faithful, and you can hold on to his word. And then verse 7 through 9, a lot said there is basically you're going to lack nothing, and God's going to bless you. All the things, the rivers and... Now, I love when we first came to Wales, because in England where we lived before, there was always hose pipe bans. And I thought, oh man, there's so many rivers in Wales, we'll never have a hose pipe ban. And I don't think we've had one in the 5 or 6 years that we've lived here. He says in 7 through 9, look, I'm going to bless you, but here's the problem. Here's what we need to learn from our blessings, that we can become complacent, that we become apathetic towards God and blessing. And that's proven many places throughout the Bible. We can take God for granted because he's saying, look, when I bless you, don't forget me. You got everything we need. I don't need to pray today. Oh, I'm, you know, a little bit sick. Oh, well, I've got night nurse. But have I prayed yet God to heal me or be with me through this all? There's a purpose through it all. You see, he's saying, I want to bless you, but in your blessing, we can lack dependency. And when we lack dependency, we lack expectancy. When we lack dependency, we lack expectancy. When you lack expectancy, you're not looking to God. You're looking to something else. Let me just ask a simple question to apply this to us across the board today. Are we expectant here today for God to move in our hearts, to speak to us, to convict us, to encourage us? Or are we tuned out to the expectancy of an all-powerful, all faithful God who says, I want to be for you when we go into this land. I'm with you. I'm with you through your trial today. I'm with you in your pain today. I'm with you in your hurt today. I'm with you in your struggle today. But are we looking to God? Is our hope found in Him? He says, I'm going to bless you, but don't forget. Don't forget me and the blessing. Don't forget from whom all blessings flow. You see, we can go through the motions. We can become apathetic and indifferent toward God as we depend on ourselves because we sort of have everything we need. A college professor once asked his student, which is worse, apathy or indifference? And the student said, I don't know and I don't care. You see, apathy and indifference plagues this land. And in the very churches in this land today, there's apathy and indifference. Because we have everything we need. This message is a message for the Western church. This message is a message for you, I'm sure. This message is a message for me, I know. You see, we've become too busy for God. We can become self-dependent, self-reliant, and we quit trusting God. We quit looking to Him because we have everything we need. Walking in the blessings, we forget God. But we need to remain thankful. That's what He says here. See, we can... Love will find a way, but indifference will find an excuse. Yeah, but I'm really busy. I got this, and this. But if you're too busy for God, then your blessings are now in the way of God. That's what He's saying here. That's what He's saying to the Western church. That's what He's saying to you. Well, you don't know my situation. I'm really busy because it's okay to be busy, but is it getting in the way of God? We got to remember, just like Israel, we're prone to wander and we're prone to forget. In verse 10, He says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the land, for the good land which He has given you. When you have eaten and had your full. You know, this is a real problem. When we're so blessed, we don't need for anything. We have plenty of food, but let's translate it to other things. We have more than that. We don't just have plenty of food. We have plenty of everything else. We have plenty of technology and gadgets and gidgets and games and plenty of things that keep us busy. We got to be careful in our busyness that the blessings that we have that overflow don't become too busy for God. We can sit in front of the TV, we can internet search, we can Amazon shop, we can go in chat rooms, video games, DVDs, hobbies. I mean, DVDs are down to $2.99 at Littles and Aldi. I mean, that's pretty cheap compared to going to the film cinema. And you can spend your hours that way. And we can spend lots of time with children and friends, and those are all good things, but we need to keep a balance in everything. Because if we're too busy with the good things that God has given us, we're too busy for God, and the blessings then become in the way, and then God has to do something about it. Well, when you've eaten and had your full, don't forget God. Don't forget to give thanks to Him. Are we thankful for what we have? You know, I think being thankful is one of the most important things you can be. Because we are blessed and we need to be thankful because it's slipping through our fingers right now. We need to be thankful for what we have. We need to count these blessings, but because they come from God and because all good things come from Him, and that we wouldn't let these things get in the way of us and God. See, good things can do great damage. The blessings can do great damage when we're so occupied with the stuff, the things, the media that is constant. I mean, you've really got to get a handle on media because it's everything, you know. You got internet and you got surfing, learning things. I mean, endless quest for knowledge. You could go on Google. 10 years ago, did we even know what Google was? Did it sound like tickling somebody? Oh, I'm going to Google you, you know. Google the baby. 10 years ago. Now Google is something we probably do every day. You see, but these things can take up a lot of time, and the era in which we live, they can get out of balance, and we need to constantly check our balance. So we need to be thankful to God for all our blessings, but yet in balance that we're not too busy for God. You know, what was the sin of Sodom? It's such a profound scripture, I even put it up there, not knowing how many people could find Ezekiel. but we often think the sin of Sodom was sex. But it was, the Bible proclaims it was sexual, it was lies, but look at what it proclaims right here. The sin of Sodom. Look at this. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. That was the sin of Sodom. Look at that. And that's what led up to we became desensitized. There were fullness of food, lots of idle time on your hands. And that's what led up to the debauchery of society. They were too busy for God. They had everything they needed, a lack of dependence. And they forgot about everybody else. They forgot about the poor and the needy. And this made them prideful. You have everything you need. You start thinking, the Bible tells us, you start thinking it's by your hand. It'll say that in a moment. We start being lifted up in pride, saying, well, I've did all this. I've worked hard for this. I've created this by my going to college, by my working hard, by me. And it's lifted up in pride, not realizing from whom all blessings flow. That Acts 17 says he even chose the places and times in which you would live. How base does that become? He chose the very country in which you would live, the very era in which you would live. And a blessed era, and a blessed country. But he says, don't forget me. See, we need to order our life with all these blessings. We need to order our life, and this is a practical application to the place in which we live today. We need to order our life. You know, sometimes we need to fast to bring our order of life into control. And maybe you haven't done that in a while. Sodom certainly could have did with a fast, with their abundance of idleness, their fullness of food. Maybe it would make them think about the people who were hungry when they fasted, and they would have a care for the poor and the needy. See, fasting gets your appetites in control. And we need to pray, and we need to be aware of our circumstance and situation. We need to discipline ourselves, you see. We need to discipline our blessings. So often, though, we just continue on in them, and it desensitizes us to these things. We walk in the blessings, and we forget God. Too busy for God. Too busy with all the blessings. And what I'm saying is we need to limit them. We need to. You can't just intake all you want of everything. There has to be a limit. So many people just cancel Facebook because they just, I can't control it, so I'm out. That's fine. That's a good way. Just cut it off. Or learn to limit it. Learn to limit your media. Learn to limit what you do. Learn to balance your life out that you have time for God. And so it says all these things that he's going to take them to a land of blessing. He says, when I take you there, give me the glory. Don't forget I'm from whom all blessings flow. Don't forget I'm the one taking you to the land. Don't forget I chose the places and times in which you would live. Don't forget these things. Don't forget me in blessing. Be thankful. You know, we so need to learn this ourselves, but we also need to teach our children to be thankful. It's so important that we learn it ourselves, though, that we are really, truly thankful. Because we're prone to wander and we're prone to forget. And that's the warning he gives us in the next text. So we looked at a call to obedience, a promise, a blessing, and slide 4, a warning not to forget. We need to learn from Israel that we tend to forget God in blessing. We can go through the motions because we're blessed. We have everything we need. We don't need him. Therefore, we're not expectant of him. You know, you come to church expectant. God's then on the line to do something. But are we expectant? Are we self-reliant, self-dependent? Maybe that's a word for many people today. What's God going to do today? I don't know. I just wanted to get over. I just want to go home. We need to not forget God, not become self-dependent and prideful. Let's look at verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful homes, houses, and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land, there where there was no water, who brought water to you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you may say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. In verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So this warning not to forget, and this is the crux of the matter in our blessings, he says, look, don't forget me. This is the crux of the matter. And this is such a message for the Western church. We've been so blessed. And we can forget God. We can go through the motions. We can become self-dependent, self-reliant, and prideful, it says right here. Well, I'm not prideful. Well, being self-reliant would be prideful. Being self-dependent would be saying, I got it all together. I don't need you, God. Well, a warning not to forget. In verse 17, he says, then you'll say in your heart, my power and my might and my hand have gained me this wealth. See, there it is right there. This is the consequence of self-dependence. You know that the reason why you go through trials is basically so that you depend on God. He reminds you to depend on him. You're going through a trial today, he's teaching you to depend on him, to trust him, to hang on to him, to rely on him, to trust in his faithfulness, to look to his word. If not, we become self-dependent. If he didn't give us trials, we'd be self-dependent, self-reliant, and prideful. We wouldn't be looking to him. That's what it says right there, that my power and my might have gained me this wealth. Beware lest you forget, you see, that when you've eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your heart is lifted up. You see, when you think it's your ingenuity, your hard work, when he chose the very times and seasons in which you would live, and you forget the goodness of God and you become self-dependent, we lose our expectancy of God. We go through the emotions, you see. And we need to come to church and say, God, awaken in me. Let the word of God awaken in me. That I go away and I'm not choked by the riches and pleasures and desires of this life. That, Lord, I'd let your work be done in me. Your word have its way in me. That I'd respond to you instead of harden my heart. Become prideful. This very thing happened in the book of Haggai. They had been in 70 years of captivity. They were released to go build the temple. They became discouraged. And so they went and just started building their own houses. And Haggai, he says, why are you focusing on your paneled houses and yet the house of the Lord remains in ruins? And if we neglect the things of God, when we become self-dependent and self-reliant, when we forget about God, we focus on other things. And God's blessed us, and we need to not forget him in blessing. John Piper said this. I said this last week, but it's so good. I put it in anywhere I can. Desire for other things, there's the enemy. And the only weapon that will triumph is a deeper hunger for God. The weakness of our hunger for God is not that because he's unsavory, but because we keep ourselves stuffed with other things. You see, we've become so busy in all of our blessings. We have so much of it, we just can't even control it all. And we don't know how to manage our life. We don't know how to discipline ourselves unto godliness. We don't know how to limit our intake because we're so blessed. See, God's gifts can become the enemy. We can become so busy with his blessings that we forget him. It's like sometimes when I walk in and my kids are watching a video that I bought them. And they love their little videos. And I walk in, hey, you know, usually when I walk in, it's great. It's like, daddy, daddy, oh, it's great when they're little. I'm sure they'll stop doing that at some point. Daddy, daddy's home. And they all run screaming from the back of the house. Daddy's home. But I come in when a video's on. Like, don't even, like, move out of the way. You're my way. And sometimes I do it on purpose. I stand in front of them like this. I go by real slow. But see, the giver of the gift, the giver of the video is now neglected by the recipients because they're so into the gift, they forget about the giver of the gifts. And that's what we do. We forget about God. We forget about the giver of gifts. We forget about from whom all blessings flow. We forget to be thankful. We forget to walk in humility. We forget to walk in gratitude. We forget to praise God. We forget to be thankful. And this is the very blessings of God become the enemies of God. And it's like those videos. I go, limit the video time. See, the devil can't destroy you. He'll try and discourage you. And the devil can't destroy you or discourage you. He'll try and distract you. Isn't that not what he's doing in the Western world? Distraction. There's so many things to be distracted by, especially through the new advances in media, and I have a feeling they're only going to get more and more prevalent. You see, is our time with God, is our devotional life with God suffering because of the blessings? That's a question for all of us. Are we not balancing or disciplining our time? Maybe we're spending too much time at the coffee shop or out to eat or on the video game, and these things are all good and God's blessings and they're all fine in moderation, but we need to balance our life. We have a new CD series coming out as we get the artwork done on it called Balanced Living, a 5-part CD series on how Jesus lived a balanced life. And I think it's good for all of us, or you can pick up the one that you need to work on. You see, we need to discipline our blessings. Verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you your power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he swore to your forefathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. When I bless you, don't forget me, he's saying. Remember the Lord. He's the one who's given you everything you have, the power to get wealth, the very season and times in which you would live. Aren't you glad you don't have to go down to the creek to get water? I so am. Oh, we have running taps. You say, what's the big deal? Most of the world has running taps. Well, there's plenty of places that don't. Plenty of places that don't have enough food today. And we're blessed, and we need to be thankful with whatever God's given us today. And he says, remember this covenant that he's holding up to what he said he's going to do. Eventually, they don't drive out all the nations. Eventually, they take on the idols. Eventually, they intermarry. Eventually, they disobey to everything he told them not to do. And so they lose the promised land. But God's promise, and there's a CD in the back, is still true. There's a CD back called Israelology, that God's still going to hold to his covenant. He just dispersed them and scattered them, which was prophesied about, scattered them, and will bring them back into the land. And if you don't understand that, you won't understand a large portion of the Bible. 5/6 of the Bible is about Israel, and we're to learn from Israel. So he'll remove them from the land. They lose their land, and he's going to give it back to them. Not just the bit they have today. A way bigger bit than they have today. He brought Israel back in the land in 1948, but they don't have the full covenant. They don't have what God's promised them. That's what the UN's given them. And it's a constant source of fight. You know, they didn't go and destroy all and drive out all the nations that he told them to drive out. He says, I'm giving you this land. I am with you. Go drive everybody out. Get rid of their idols. Grind them to dust. Burn them. Don't let it in your family. Don't let it in your house. Don't intermarry with them. But that's exactly what they did. They did not heed the word of God. And so often we don't heed the word of God. We're not looking to him. We're looking to our own strength, looking to our own ways, looking to our own answers. And rather than saying, what do you say on the matter, Lord? You see, we can become complacent and self-satisfied in our own comfort, that we no longer remove the idols in our own home, in our own life, that we no longer evaluate ourselves because we're perfectly happy just the way we are. We're perfectly happy because we have everything we need and we want for nothing. And he says, when you want for nothing, be careful not to forget me, from whom all blessings flow. Don't forget me in blessing. They became so happy with what they had, they didn't get all that God had for them. They didn't, we got enough of the land. Let's divide it up now. It's all right. We got plenty. Leave them Amorites. Leave them Amalekites. Let them have that little bit. What's the big deal? The big deal is God said, drive them all out. Get rid of them all. Because I don't want them affecting my children. You, my children. They didn't obey in the little things. Couldn't be bothered to drive out all the people and the idols and the things in their land, and they allowed them into their home. They intermarried with them. And see, that's just like us today. We need the removal of things in our life that are keeping us from God. And it can be the blessings that we need to discipline our blessings. We need to watch out for our time. Watch out what we spend our money on. These are disciplines with the blessings that God has given us. We got to remember, just like Israel, we're prone to wander and we're prone to forget. Let me just close in asking you these questions. Have you lost expectancy in God? Are you here expectant? Are you here just going through the motions? Just here to get in and out as soon as you can. You've lost the expectancy of God. You've lost your dependence on God, and therefore you don't see God, because whatever God does, you wouldn't give him glory. And see, God created us for his glory, and he doesn't want you to rob him of his glory. So if you come here self-dependent, self-reliant, and unexpectant, going through the motions, whatever he would do, you wouldn't give him the glory. You see, God's looking for you to trust him, looking for you to depend on him. Say, God, move in my heart today. Show me my sin today. Lord, encourage me, rebuke me, whatever you want to do today. That's the purpose of the word, by the way, for correction, rebuke, training in righteousness. There's a purpose for you being here today. It's for God to speak to you. God wants to speak to you through his word. God wants to speak through you many different ways. Maybe it's through the tables you're in today. Maybe it's in the worship. Maybe God's speaking and you're not listening because your feelings and emotions or your own mindset or your own preconceptions have ruled out the word of God. And you're going with your thoughts, your intents, your mindset over the word of God. Because what? You lack faith. What did they lack in the wilderness? They lacked faith. And they didn't enter into the promised land. They didn't enter into all that God had for them through a lack of faith, through disobedience. They didn't see what all God wanted to do. They died in the desert. Do you want to see all that God wants to do in your life? Do you want to see him do great things? Do you don't walk and revel in the greatness of your God? Then you need to submit to his will and way by faith. Faith in his word. That every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is what you live by, not by bread alone. The words of God. And we need to hold on to him. We need to lift him up to his right place in our heart, or else we're unexpectant. And we come in plotting, going through the motions. And we never see God work. And we think, well, we'll blame it on the preacher. We'll blame it on the worship leader. We'll blame it on this church. We'll go to a different one. Surely a different church is the answer. When everywhere you go, there you are. And God wants to speak to you through the foolishness of preaching. God wants to speak to you through your fellowship. God wants to speak to you through the worship. But are you receiving? Or are you plotting and going through the motions because you're self-reliant, self-dependent, and not looking to God today? You're looking to your own resources. God wants to speak to you. God wants to work in you. God wants you to revel in his greatness. And when you walk in the dependence of God, that's what you do. You revel in the greatness of the God, because he comes faithful over and over again. As you walk in the presence of God, the walk in the trusting and dependence of God, you see God to be faithful. You see God to be faithful and true all the time. And you look back on your life, you know what? I'm facing a big challenge today, but you know what? I can remember that God's always been faithful. And today, maybe you're a young Christian and you're going, well, I don't know, I haven't experienced the God's faithfulness that much yet. Well, then you look to his word and you trust him by faith and you walk, I'm going to trust God and try it. Test me in these things, he says. I remember when I was a young Christian, people used to come up and say, God is good, huh? Faithful all the time, huh? I said, no, the answer is yes, but I don't really know. Because I hadn't experienced the faithfulness of God over and over again. And now I have. And first, right now, it's by faith. For you young Christians, it's by faith in his word. I'm going to trust you, God. Even though my feelings tell me contrary. And though everything I see is to the contrary, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk and believe you, God, today. Can you walk today and believe him with all the trials going on in this place? All the major hurdles in everybody's life today, can you trust him? And that's what he's teaching us. That's what trials are all about. Trust me. And then you'll look back over your life over and over again. He's been faithful and God is good. And you can sing with assurance through experience, God is good all the time. And see, we understand that in trials, sometimes we're afflicted. Sometimes God takes us through things that are painful. He doesn't raise us in cotton wool, because if he did, we wouldn't learn the things of life. We wouldn't grow spiritually. Our muscles would never be used, and we wouldn't be conformed to the image of Christ. You see, we must go through the affliction. We must trust him. We must go through the fire, and we must learn to trust him through the fire. And we fail. What do we learn? the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Doesn't it make you smile? Doesn't it make you smile, the mercy of God, the goodness of God? As you think about it, wow. Man, I remember all the times I failed. But God is faithful. God is good. And that's what we learn when we trust God. Are we too busy for God? All the blessings, all that we got, but you don't understand my life. Love will find a way, and indifference will find an excuse. You say, God, I need more of you. I want to want more of you, but I'm not hungry enough. You see, the word of God has had no effect because I go away, and the riches and pleasures and the worries of life choke out the word. And I get too busy for you again. I forget about the need and desire that's created today that is showing me, yes, Lord, I need you. Yes, Lord, I'm not expectant of you. Yes, Lord, I'm not really walking that close to you, but as soon as I leave this door, I'm busy again, and I'll forget about you when I bless you. He says, don't forget me. I am from whom all blessings flow. Don't let the blessings get in the way of you and me. Have you forgotten God as a priority in your life? God first, that's what he wants. The first two commandments are about putting God first. Putting God first in your life. I've seen so many people knocked off by relationships. They start dating, and all of a sudden, boo, they were doing good till they met somebody. Some come back, some don't. Some come back greater dependence. Some never come back. We get something new in our life. Oh, we got the new job, and it knocks us off. We get the new toy or the new whatever it is in our life that knocks us off, that eats away our time, that we don't discipline ourselves into godliness, and it eats away at our time for God. Oh, well, I'll give God a couple of minutes today on the way in the car. Oh, sidetracked by the radio. Sidetracked by the news. Sidetracked by the music. Oh, whoa. The 2 minutes is even gone. You see, we need to discipline ourselves into the blessings of God, and we need to not forget God in our blessings. That's the message to Israel, and that's the message to the Western church. That's the message to me, and that's the message to you. Let's not become too busy for God. Let's not walk in our own strength. And we need to drive out these bad influences from chapter 7. These things in our life, if they are squeezing and choking the life out of us, we need to get rid of them. Drive them all out. Destroy all the idols in the land. That's what he said to Israel. And he's saying the same thing to us. You must learn to apply the word of God to yourself. You take the message to Israel and take the application to yourself. In the culture in which we live, relevant Bible studies. What do I do, Clint? I'm so far gone. I haven't had time with God for ages. What do? I feel so far away from God. He's right there. He's like the father of the prodigal son. He sees you from afar off. He's looking for you to turn. And as you turn, he runs to you. Isn't that good news? The love of the Father is waiting right there for you. The love of the Father is waiting there right for you. You've drifted far. You maybe don't even feel like you know him. And you've been relying on your own self and your own feelings. And so long that, Lord, he's so far away, seems like. But he's right there. His eye is fixed intently on you. His thoughts of you is as many as the sands of the sea. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He's intently focused on you. He's looking for you to turn back to him today. He's looking for the word of God to have effect that you wouldn't be leave here choked by the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of life, the busyness of life. And he'd say, God, have you created a hunger in me today? Has he created a hunger in you? Do you realize he's speaking to you? Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy on us all. What do, Lord? Turn, and the Father will run to you. The love of the Father, isn't it beautiful? There's a Chinese proverb that says, best time to plant trees, 20 years ago. Next best time, today. Wherever you're at, however far you've gone, the love of the Father is a turn away. One footstep. As soon as you do this, the love of the Father's ready to run to you. Review, we looked at God calls us to obedience in the promised land, to discipline ourselves unto godliness. And he says, I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you. But don't forget me in blessing, and don't forget to give me thanks. Don't forget me in blessing. Don't become too busy for God. Don't become self-reliant, self-dependent, lacking expectancy, where you can't even speak anymore. Because whatever you listen, it's choked out by the riches and pleasures and worries of life. The desire for other things. Choke out the very desire that you're feeling today. That God's quickening in you to say, yes, Lord, I've fallen far away from you. I'm not really having much time with you. I'm not reading the word. I'm not praying to you. I've lost all that from some time ago. And Lord, you're calling me back today, but will I be choked out? Will the word be choked out by the riches, the pleasures, the worries, and desire for other things? Father, we just pray now that, Lord, you would speak to us, minister to us our need for you. Lord, that we'd be humble and come before our gracious God and full of mercy, who's a present help in time of need. Oh, thank you for the love of the Father. Thank you for the picture of the prodigal son that you would run to us now if we'd take one step towards you. Help us, Lord, to not let the word of God be choked today. In Jesus' name, amen.